Hey, New Life Church, I'm so glad that you are tuning in with us today, this weekend. I tell you what, if you're watching with us right now live on Facebook, I would love it if you would just drop a comment in the chat below. Let us know that you're watching. Say hello from wherever you are. Maybe you're on the beach. Maybe you're on the couch this morning. Wherever you are, we welcome you. So glad that you are joining in with us today. We are going to continue. We had a couple weeks off while I was away, and we have been in a series called Supreme. It's been a series on Colossians. And this is going to be part six, actually, of that series. This will be an eight-part series, so we're getting close to the end today. But since it's been a couple weeks, let's go ahead and review where we've been on this journey with the Church of Colossae, Paul's letter. If you remember, this is an ancient letter that Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. He's clearing some things up. He's giving them some encouragement. And here's where we've been. And part one and two of the series, we talked about really it's the core message of Colossians, and that is the supremacy of Christ. And what we said was that only Jesus can do what he does because no one else has done what Jesus did. No one else lived the life Jesus did. No one else died to death, nor has anyone resurrected from that type of death like Jesus did. And that's how we know that he is God and he is supreme over everything because no one else has done that. Part three, we worked our way through the book of Colossians. In part three, we talked about being rooted in Christ and that being rooted in Christ is the continued work of the Christian life. I don't know if you remember this or not, but the day you got saved was not the day you arrived. God's still working on all of us. We're continually working to be deeper and deeper rooted in Christ. So that way, when the enemy comes and wants to try to cut off your growth, wants to try to pluck you out of God's hand, you are rooted in Christ. And because the church has been so deeply rooted in Christ, baby, we're still here. It's been over 2,000 years since they tried to crucify Jesus, but he rose again, and now we are rooted in him and continue to thrive. And so you can continue to thrive when you're rooted in Christ as well. Part four, Paul began to talk about deceptions in the church because although this was written only 30 years after the death and resurrection of Jesus, it still applies to deception in the church today, doesn't it? And what we said was that false teaching is anything that attempts to add, subtract, multiply, or divide anything from the gospel, because what we know is Jesus plus nothing is everything. He's everything. And then part five, just a few weeks ago, we talked about the fullness that supplements is not fulfillment. We talked about all of the ways that we have tried to supplement our lives with things of this world, with hobbies, substances, relationships, but you cannot supplement your way to fulfillment. The Lord is the fullness. And so we talked about how Christ is the fullness, and you can experience the fullness. Well, today, we're going to continue through Colossians, man, part six, and we're going to be talking about being made alive in Christ. So we're actually going to jump in and catch the end of chapter 2. I know what you're thinking, man, Colossians is only four chapters. Today's part six, and we're still in chapter 2. It's true. But we're going to catch the end of chapter 2 because it's actually going to set us up for going into chapter 3 today. So let's take a look at in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. Paul writes, "Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working God who raised him from the dead." So today we're talking about being made alive in Christ. Because when you came to know Christ, the old you passed away and God began a new life in you. And that's what I love about our church. We identify ourselves as New Life Church because that is what God continues to do in people. He continues to create new things. He restores life and gives us new life. Well, he says, your whole self was ruled by the flesh and it was put off when you were circumcised. Now, the concept of circumcision, it was such a heavy concept in the Hebrew culture because of the old covenant, all the way back in the Old Testament with Abraham, the sign of the covenant was circumcision that they did the boys on the eighth day. And so Paul uses this as an illustration many times in his writing, this illustration of circumcision, because it would have meant something to them then and there. And I know that here and now, like, we read circumcision, it's like, well, that's kind of awkward. But Paul is not talking about now this circumcision in Christ. He's not talking about a physical circumcision, which is a cutting away. Instead, he's talking about a spiritual one, a circumcision of the heart, so to speak. But it is still, the illustration applies the same, because he's still talking about a separation, a cutting away. But now he's talking about the cutting away of the old self, being buried with Christ. And this is what it means to be baptized. When if you've taken your next step of water baptism, and if you haven't, then you need to look at taking that next step. It's symbolic of being buried with Christ in baptism. In other words, the old Devin went into the water, was buried, put to death, and the old me was now cut off, separated, and then raised to walk in a brand new life, which represents Jesus' resurrection on the third day. You go into the water old, symbolic, and symbolically you come out of the water raised to walk in a brand new life. And so this is the idea of this circumcision by Christ, that the old you is now cut off and you're raised to live a new life, being alive in Christ. So again, it's a great illustration of this cutting off of the old way. Now, verse 13, it says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. How? Well, he forgave us all our sins. And if you remember back when you were dead in your sins, when you had no hope and you were in despair, you were depressed, then you should remember well what it means for God to make you alive in him. I will never forget when I became so alive and awakened to the reality of God in my life, when the burden of the weight of my sin was completely forgiven. I mean, like, there is no other solution in our world to the guilt and the shame of our mistakes and failures than the forgiveness that can only come through Jesus Christ. And then and only then can you be made alive again in Christ. So here is now where we're going to begin to move into chapter 3 of Colossians. I know, finally. But the first thing we're going to talk about is the heavenly life. Paul's going to, in the first few verses here, we're going to look at this as the heavenly life. We've been made alive in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. We've been buried with Christ in baptism. Okay, I get that. Put off the old me. And that's all great. So in other words, it's like the day you got saved, the day that God found you, he cleaned you up, he forgave all your sin. Well, now what? Well, now what? Well, the heavenly life is going to now replace all of your old perspectives and give you a brand new purpose for your life. So let's look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. That's why we started in chapter 2. We're setting this up. You have been raised with Christ. You've been brought, made alive in him. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is. He's seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. You died, and your life is now hidden in Christ, with Christ in God. So having died to the old self, your new self needs a new purpose. And this is the purpose is in setting your hearts now on things above, because the old us, the old me was focused on things of this world. The old me was focused on self. But the new me in Christ now gets a new perspective found in this purpose that is now on things above. It is heavenly, it's eternal. And setting your hearts, literally setting your heart means to seek. It is to examine and search something out with the desire to possess it, so that we have this new pursuit in our lives. It's not a pursuit of self. It's a pursuit of the things of the Spirit. setting our hearts, seeking to possess it. So being alive in Christ is to be alive to heaven's purposes for our lives. So there's this shift that should happen in every believer's life. There should be a shift from your faith and your life being centered around you and your world to now your faith and your life being centered around heavenly things, spiritual things, eternal things. He also says, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. This is to keep holding on to this perspective of heavenly things and not on the things that you have already died to, which are earthly things. We've died to the earthly things, so now it's time to really be awake, be made alive in Christ, having a new perspective and a purpose that is founded in eternal things, spiritual things, and our purpose is always going to be connected to heaven's purpose, right? I hope you're with me. Now watch this. Our greatest affections and priorities should have an eternal and heavenly perspective. I mean, listen to that again. Our greatest affections and priorities should have an eternal and heavenly perspective. And when I read that, I have to check my own life and say, God, are all of my affections and priorities aligned to the priorities of heaven? Are the priorities of heaven for our city, Kokomo, for my family, for the ministry, for what you want to do to reach people, to rescue people, what you are interested in, are they my interest? The heavenly life is being made alive in Christ and aligning life's purposes and affections to the purposes of heaven. And there's great freedom in knowing that you can have purpose again in this new life when you put off the old self. And now Paul's going to shift here. He's going to shift because this is where he wants us, right? He said, we got to have this heavenly perspective, being setting our minds and hearts on things above, things greater than things on the earth, and greater than career aspirations, greater than investments, greater than the next relationship, greater than the next high, greater than the next car, greater than the next the video and the following and the likes and the comments that it can receive, greater than all that. No, hearts and minds set on things above, set on heavenly things. And so because that's what it is to be alive in Christ, he's going to talk about now the vices of the old life. The vices of the old life. Okay, so you remember the old you? It was buried with Christ in baptism and then raised to walk in a brand new life. Yeah, but although you've been made new, the vices are still there. They're still going to follow you, and you're going to have to kind of battle against those old vices, because although the old you is put to death, there are some vices in your life that now also need to be put to death and then awaken new virtues in your life. So let's see what Paul says in verse 5, Colossians 3, 5, and 6. He says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature, it's got to go. And he talks about these things. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is all idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. And then he continues in the next verse, verse 7, you used to walk in these ways. He's telling the Colossians. He says, yeah, remember, you used to walk in these earthly ways in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourself of such things as these. And he goes on, he says, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. So listen to this. The sinful nature continues to be the deadly enemy that battles against those who put their faith in Christ. So the sinful nature, it continues to gnaw at the life of the believer. The day you got saved, all of the struggles just don't leave you alone. Like these vices continue to sometimes haunt us. It's the deadly enemy that battles against those who put their faith in Christ. And for this reason, we continue to put sinful desire to death spiritually through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is why you need the power of God in your life to help overcome the vices of the old. To help overcome the vices of the old man. So now Paul is going to shift. These are the vices, but now he's going to show us the virtues of the new life. Being made alive in Christ has many virtues, right? But these virtues that we'll examine from Paul are virtues to be personally developed, virtues of the new life that replace the vices of the old life. Because remember, when you died to self, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in a brand new life, now you have to replace old perspectives, old pursuits with what? With heavenly purposes. Well, what about all the old vices of life? Well, old vices need replaced with new virtues. And this is a part of the process of what God does in our lives as believers. It doesn't end the day that you accepted Jesus into your heart. You've got to take this journey of really examining the vices in your life. We just read a list of them there. And then pursuing the virtues of the new life. Let's look at Colossians 3:12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Now listen, we all have a certain fashion and a certain style. Clothes have been being worn since the first the first man and woman, right? And clothes continue to be on the forefront of our culture. Style and fashion is always changing. You can easily identify sometimes people by their fashion, their personality types. If there's a certain group of people that are into a certain genre of music, a lot of times they all dress a certain type of way. They have a certain fashion. So we have all these fashions in our world, and many fashions get to be very expensive, and people covet them, and like, oh man, if I could wear that brand, and so there's all of this stuff that centers around fashion in our world today. And Paul, he's writing here, and he's telling us to essentially. He's saying, okay, you've been made alive in Christ. You've put off the old self. You got to go put some new clothes on. You have to choose a new fashion. You have to put on a new fashion. And fashion, clothes, all this stuff, it is really outward appearance, right? I mean, the clothes that I'm wearing today, it's only outward appearance. A fashion, and what he's saying is now fashion yourself with compassion. That it can be seen from the outer parts of your life that you are a compassionate person. Or kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Fashion yourselves in these things. So there's all kinds of different fashions, personalities, lifestyles. But show the world that you are fashioned in Christ. You've been made alive in Him. And show the world that you've been made alive. So go put your clothes on and clothe yourself in the virtues of the new life. Clothe yourselves with compassion. Clothe yourselves with kindness and humility that everyone in your sphere of influence can see that you have been made alive in Christ. One time I had a friend that just decided, you know, I am going to completely change my style, my haircut, all my clothes. I'm going to go with a whole new wardrobe. I'm going to stay relative. And every time someone saw them, they were like, whoa, man, like, you really have, like, changed your whole, like, thing. Your whole style is different. It was noticeable. And that's what I love. When someone has a real encounter with Jesus and it transforms their life, people look and say, whoa, you're different. And that's what it can look like when the church decides to put their clothes on finally, to put their clothes on and be clothed in compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. So let's look at the next verse. It finishes like this. It says, now forgive as how? forgive as the Lord forgave you. So to be made alive in Christ, setting our mind on things above, these are some of the virtues of the kingdom of God. These virtues don't always line up with our vices. We may have a vice that says to not forgive, to hold people's sins against them. But no, he says, forgive how as the Lord forgave. And how did God forgive us? Freely. And over all these virtues, over all the virtues, it's almost like, and the coat that's going to complete the outfit, that's going to tie it all together is this, put on love. Put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. All the virtues that Paul's talking about in this new life and being made alive in Christ is all held together by love. And so what that means for us is we genuinely have to love. So we are compassionate because we love. We're kind because we love. We're patient because we love. We're gentle because of love. And when you encounter the love of God, I pray that it awakens God's love for people in you. Now watch this. The consequence of being made alive in Christ is developing a life that now looks like Christ. So listen, put your clothes on. Be clothed in Christ. Be clothed in the virtues of this new life. So we talked about the heavenly life. Remember? Placing our minds and our hearts on things above. Let me ask you the question. Are your affections and priorities aligned with heaven? Or are your current pursuits, if you really think about it, are they just pursuits of self, self-promotion, your selfish desires? I want you to really, truly evaluate. Are you living your life with the perspective of eternity and saying, God, what of mine are you wanting to use for your greater good and your greater purpose? Am I fulfilling now the purpose of heaven in my life, or am I just existing and calling it Christianity, calling myself a follower? Talk about the vices of the old life. Maybe for somebody that resonated because maybe you recognize that you are currently still battling vices in your life. But maybe vices from the old life that you know God saved you from, but man, that habit or that mentality, that maybe it's a mentality of unforgiveness, it's a mentality of worry, maybe whatever it may be, and it's haunting you, and it's a vice, it's a habit, and it needs to die. Today, I want to give you a moment. I want to give you an opportunity to turn away again, but then turn to the virtues of the new life. So let me ask you then, do you have your clothes on? Have you clothed yourself with the virtues of this new life? Do you have the fashion of Christ? Can it be seen? Can it be noticed? So wherever you fall into these categories today, you can respond. Whether you need to say, okay, I need to begin to shift my perspective again. I remember I once was so kingdom-minded and I put purpose into everything I did. I put purpose in the conversations with people. I put purpose in how I was generous and you've fallen away from that. Then today you can say, okay, God, renew that in me today. And whether you feel it or not, you can make a choice that you're going to begin to live the heavenly life. And maybe you're struggling with those old vices. Well, today we're going to pray. And I pray that those old vices die again. And you can turn to putting on the clothes, the fashion of Christ, and begin to be seen as kind and humble and compassionate. So let's pray. God, I pray for everybody that's tuning in with us today. Lord, wherever they're at in this journey, God, maybe they're thinking right now of how they've lost that perspective, that purpose, and not living with their mind and heart set on things above. God, I pray that there be an alignment from our ways to heaven's ways today. God, I pray for every person that is saying, I'm still battling old vices. Well, God, Paul says, put them to death. And so, Lord, we just kill them off. And sometimes the best way to kill off an old vice is to stop feeding it. So stop going there. Stop pondering on those things. Or let it go. Forgive them. Stop feeding the unforgiveness. Stop feeding the offense. And old vices will die when you stop feeding them. And then, God, may we be clothed in the fashion of Christ. May we be seen and noticed that we are different because of our kindness, our goodness, our gentleness, our compassion, which is action, and humility, making a difference in our world today. So, God, we thank you that you chose us and you have made us alive when we were dead in our transgressions. So we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hey, New Life Church, thank you so much for joining us today. If this is your first time joining us and you'd like to learn a little bit more about New Life Church, you can text the word CONNECT to the number 765-347-9127. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and we hope to see you guys next time.